Well, turning your Bibles to Galatians chapter 1, as this morning we're actually finishing the letter, that Paul's letter to the churches of Galatia. This has been a great study. It's great things there. We've seen over and over these months great truths. We've gone verse by verse, passage by passage through the letter. We realize this, that the truths that are in the book of Galatians that speak to the churches of Galatia are just relevant for us today. I mean, when they were dealing with issues of salvation or they were dealing with the Christian life, in the same way today, we deal with the exact same issues of what exactly is salvation, how does a person saved, and how do we live as Christians? So this morning, as we close out our study, we're going to focus really on three big areas. Let me just show you how we'll do it. We're just going to look at it this way. We're going to get a brief review of the letter, just sort of a big idea. And then we're going to look at some key truths from the Galatian letter, the key things that are brought out. And then as we end, as always, we're going to say, what are some applications that we can make in our lives from this letter? So there's so much there. May we be excited as we finish it up this morning. There was a jailer that was in Philippi. And Paul and Silas, two men, had been thrown into the jail there at night. And in the middle of the night, they were singing and praising God. And then later on in the night, there was an earthquake. And the jail came open, and the chains all fell off. And the jailer awoke, and he thought if these people had run away, that they would put him to death. And so he's about to kill himself. And he went to the edge of the jail, and he pulled out a sword to kill himself. And Paul said, "Don't kill yourself. We're all in here." And the jailer asked the greatest question of all, the question that all people should be asking. And he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And we want to stop and think for a second about being saved. Because the two questions would be, saved from what? And what must you do? As we begin, we realize that to be saved means to be saved from eternal separation from God, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death, and we're all supposed to be separated from God. And so what we need is to be saved from going to the lake of fire and being separated from God. But we have a great message from the Bible, and that is that God so loved the world, that's us, that he gave his son, that's Jesus, he gave him to die on the cross to pay for sin and rise again, and whoever would believe in him would never perish, never go to the lake of fire, but have eternal life. So all who believe in Jesus will never perish, but have everlasting life. So when the Philippian jailer said to Paul, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" How did Paul answer? Paul said this, he said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved." Salvation is by faith in Jesus Christ for eternal life. Now, let me say this again carefully, because there's a lot of confusion. Salvation is we put our faith in Jesus Christ for eternal life. That's what he's offering us. He's offering us the gift of eternal life. We are dead in trespasses and sins. We're going to experience the second death, which is eternal separation from God. But Jesus Christ came as the way, the truth, and the life, and he gives life. And whoever believes in Jesus has eternal life. I want you to see what Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16. Paul says, "Yet for this reason I found mercy." He's talking about how God showed him mercy. "So that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might demonstrate his perfect patience as an example." He says, Paul is going to use me as an example for those who would believe in him, in Christ, for what? For eternal life. I want you to understand, salvation is when we trust in Jesus Christ to give us eternal life. We are dead, we are lost, we are going our way to the lake of fire. Jesus Christ has died for us, paid for sin, and rose again, and he offers the gift of eternal life, which comes simply by faith. My prayer is this, that every one of you in this room, that you have already put your faith in Christ for eternal life. If you have not, right where you're sitting, even right now, you can say, "Lord, I believe that Jesus died for me, and I'm trusting in him and him alone to give me eternal life." Now, the message of Galatians, or this message of salvation, is the key in the book of Galatians. Because there was an issue there. And so when we look at this letter to the Galatians, we're going to see over and over the message of salvation by faith. This morning, as we finish the study, we're going to do three things. And let's start with the first one. The first one is that we're going to get a brief review of the Galatian letter. Now, the author of the book, of course, is Paul. Paul the Apostle. Paul is a man who wrote 13 letters of the New Testament, went on three missionary journeys, founded many, many churches, led people to Christ, all of those kind of things, touched many lives. In his early life, he was a Pharisee. And he did not believe in Jesus Christ. In fact, he thought Jesus Christ was wrong. And so when this new movement started, which was called The Way, that was people who trusted in Jesus and believed that he died and rose again, and they were trusted in him for eternal life, they were starting everywhere. Well, Paul began to persecute those people. And he decided that he would go to Damascus because he heard that there were a group of Christians up there. So what he was going to do was go to the New Way, get them, bring them back to Jerusalem, and many of them will be tortured and put to death. That was his plan. On the way to Damascus, Jesus Christ appeared to Paul, and Paul trusted in Christ as his Savior on the way to Damascus. He realized that Jesus was true and that Jesus did die and rise again and that Jesus was alive. And the best we can tell, and if we saw it when we studied the book of Galatians, that Paul spent time with Jesus getting his message, and we'll talk more about that. He then, on a journey, he traveled on what we call his first missionary journey. He left a place called Antioch and went into the region of the world, which is modern-day Turkey. It was called Galatia in that time. And he went and founded, led people to Christ, went from city to city. He went to Antioch, to Derbe, to Lystra, all of these cities. And he led people to Christ, and he actually founded churches. And when I said he led people to Christ, he went in there with the message that we know. And that message is that Jesus is the Son of God who died and rose again. And if you believe in him, what do you have? Eternal life. And that's the message he gave to them. And then he told them that the Christian life is a walk of faith, that you live in the power of the Holy Spirit based on the truths of the scriptures. And he taught that message to all who would believe. And they believed, and they were doing great. And then after he left, a group left, most likely around the Jerusalem area, a group called Judaizers. And some people argue whether any Judaizers were actually Christians or not, but what they believed is that it wasn't just faith in Christ that saved anybody, that they had to come under the Mosaic law in order to be saved. And if you were a man, if you were going to be saved, you had to be circumcised. And you had to come under the Mosaic law. And if you didn't keep the Mosaic law, you were not saved. And if you were going to be a Christian, even if you said, I'm going to try to keep the law, then your whole Christian life was the Mosaic law and the rules and those kind of things. The people got confused. And you would too if you'd been told that salvation was a gift by faith in Christ, but then somebody else came in and said, no, you've got to keep the law. You've got to do good works. You have to keep these things or else you're not saved, and you'd be confused. And so when Paul found that out, he wrote this letter, which we call the Galatians. And by the way, they added, this is what we see, is the Judaizers added work to both the Christian, to the salvation message and the Christian life. And so this is where we are. So we have, over these last months, went verse by verse through the letter that Paul wrote to these churches. Now, let me just tell you why this is so important. Because today, there are many people out there, we don't call them necessarily Judaizers, but there are many people out there who add works to the salvation message. And they tell people, you have to do good things in order to be saved. You have to keep doing good things to be saved. You have to do this. And there's so many people that are confused. In fact, if we walked into our community and said to people, what do you think a person has to do to have eternal life? What if the question was, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Many people would say, try to keep the law, get baptized, go to a church, walk down an aisle, give your life to Jesus, be willing to do this, and it's all confusing. And so the message of Galatia is powerful for us. And the same thing about the Christian life. How many people have been told that there's the laws and the rules that you must keep if you're going to be a good Christian? And we saw through the letter that the Christian life is not lived by Mosaic law or by law at all. So as we begin going through the book, we're going to get the key truths from the Galatian letter. And there are three things that stand out I want to remind you. Here's the three. Paul was an apostle. That's what he teaches in this. That salvation is by faith and not by law or works, and that the Christian life is a walk of faith, is by faith and not by the law. So let's start with the first one, that Paul is an apostle. I want you to understand that the Judaizers, when they went into where Paul had already taught, they said, now we know this Paul guy came through here and he told you this stuff, but Paul's not an apostle. He wasn't with Jesus. And he's not really an apostle, so he doesn't count. And so when you heard his message, just reject it. Was Paul an apostle? Was Paul with Jesus? The answer is no, Paul wasn't with Jesus. But after Paul met Jesus on the road to Damascus, he spent time with Jesus, and Jesus called him as an apostle. I want you to look at verse 1 of Galatians chapter 1. Notice how Paul describes himself, Paul, an apostle, not sent from men nor through the agency of man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. What does Paul say? Paul says, I'm an apostle, but it wasn't from men or through men, but it was from Jesus Christ. So Paul is an apostle. Now let me tell you this. They said that Paul's message was wrong. Look down at verse 11. He says, for I would have you know, brethren, that the gospel message, which was preached by me, is not according to man. I didn't get it from man. I wasn't taught it from man, but I got it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. What he says is the message that he proclaimed came from Jesus. So let me just tell you something. Paul was an apostle because Jesus made an apostle, and Paul's message is correct because Jesus is the one who gave him the message. So I want you to understand that. So when he writes this letter, he begins by saying, listen, these people are wrong. I am an apostle, and I got my message directly from Jesus Christ. The second part of the thing we need to look at the letter is that salvation is by faith and not by the works of the law. The Judaizers said you had to come under the law to be saved. There are people today that say you need to make a commitment to Christ to be saved. You need to get baptized to be saved. You need to do good works to be saved. You need to say you believe in Jesus Christ, but if you don't do good works, you're not saved. If you don't do good works, you lost your salvation. It's over and over. You hear this over and over. Is salvation a gift by faith and you get eternal life, or is it something you do or keep doing? That's the issue. Salvation is by faith alone in Christ and is not by the works. Let me show you what he says. And this is how he begins. That salvation is not by works, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Look at Galatians chapter 2. Look at verse 16. In fact, let me put this up. If you want to write these verses down, you can. I just want to show you something. Just listen to me carefully. Galatians 2, verse 16, he says, knowing a man is not declared righteous. That's what the word justified means. Knowing that a person is not declared right, justified by works of the law, but how? But through faith in Christ Jesus. How are you declared righteous before God? By faith in Jesus Christ. He goes on to say, even we have believed in Christ Jesus, so we would be justified by faith and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, nobody could be justified. You know why you can't be justified by the law? You can't keep the law. You put your faith in Christ. He goes on in 2:21, and I love this verse. Think about what it actually says. Verse 21 of Galatians 2, I do not nullify the grace of God. Said Paul, I'm not canceling out the grace of God. It's there. It's all grace. Because if righteousness could come through law, then Christ died what? Needlessly. Listen, if you could be saved by your works, you didn't need Jesus to die on the cross. He didn't have to die. You can't be saved by your works because you can't do good works. Jesus died for us. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 6, listen to what it says. Even Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. 3:21, 3:22, look down there, it says, is the law contrary to the promises of God? No. For if a law had been given, which was able to impart life, then righteousness would have come to the law. He says, if a law could have given you life, you could have been saved by law. But he goes on to say, but Scripture has shut everybody up under sin. We've all sinned, notice, so that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ may be given to all those who believe. Listen, you can't keep the law. You can never keep the law. If you could be saved through the law, then there would have been a law given that you could be saved, but you can't. And so it comes by faith. And Galatians 3:26 says, we are sons of God by faith in Jesus Christ. Listen, the Bible is clear. And Paul is clear that salvation is a gift. There is an attack today. I'm telling you, it's been going on for a long time, but there is an attack more and more on what we call grace. When we say that we're grace and we say that you're saved by faith alone in Christ alone plus nothing and you get eternal life, there are people in this community that will attack that message and say that there's more to salvation than faith in Christ. What they want to do is add works in the same way that the Judaizers did to the Galatians. Listen, Paul said in Ephesians, by grace, help me, you are saved through what? Faith. And that and what? Not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. It's not of works, lest anyone should boast. It's not works. It's not what you do. It's not what you keep doing. It's not what you promise to do. You are saved because the Savior is Jesus, not you. He's the one who died and rose again. He's the one who gives eternal life. God so loved the world that he gave his Son, that whosoever believes will have eternal life. Don't be confused. Be clear on the message. When you talk to people in this community and throughout the world, be clear that salvation is a gift by faith. There's the third thing that we're looking at, and that is that the Christian life is by faith and not by rules or laws. The Bible tells us in Colossians 2:6, as we receive Christ Jesus the Lord, we received him by faith. He says, so live for him by faith. The Christian life is a walk of faith and is not a set of rules. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Listen to what this says. Paul says, I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in this flesh, I live how? By faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. We do not live the Christian life by law. We live the Christian life by faith. Galatians 4:21. Listen to this. Paul writes to these Galatians. He says, tell me, you who want to be under the law, do you not listen to the law? The law says, keep it or die. That's what the law says. Can't keep it. In Galatians, we find that we're set free. Galatians 5:1, it was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm. Do not subject yourself to a yoke of slavery. That's the law. Do not put yourself under law for the Christian life. The Christian life is freedom. It is God's love and God's power through us. Galatians 5:13, look what it says. For you are called to freedom, brethren. You're free as a Christian. He says, don't turn your freedom into an opportunity for flesh, but through love, serve one another. Now, I want you to understand something about law. Law brings death. Law brings sin. Law shows sin. And the law can't stop sin. So when people say the Christian life is all the don't do this, 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 the law has no power to stop you from doing all the wrong. The Christian life is not lived under law. It is lived under freedom and grace. Through love, serve one another. He tells us in 5:16 and 17 that you walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's the way you live. That's the way you have victory. He even showed us in verses 19 through 21 what happens when we live in the flesh, and he showed us in verses 22 and 23 what happens when we live in the Spirit. For the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no what? Law. There's no law. Law cannot produce the fruit of the Spirit. So when you put people under bondage and law, they cannot live the Christian life. The Christian life is freedom in the power of the Holy Spirit. The very last, in Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, he says, bear one another's burdens and fulfill the law of Christ. And when he says the law of Christ, some people think that means laws and rules. The law of Christ is the law of love. Jesus said, love God, love others as I have loved you, you love others. The law of Christ is you live a life of love. That is the key to the Christian life. And so we can put it simply this way. The Christian life is a walk of faith based on the Word of God in the power of the Holy Spirit in love. That's what it is. So as we look at this letter, those three things. Paul was an apostle of Jesus sent with the gospel message that salvation is by faith in Christ and not by law, and that the Christian life is lived by faith in the power of the Holy Spirit, not law. There's just one more thing I want you to think about, and that's how Paul gets to the end of the letter and he talks about the cross of Christ. In chapter 6, verse 14, he says, but may I never boast except in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And without going back, I don't want you to turn back, but in Galatians, he talks about this gospel message, which is a gospel from God. He talks about in Galatians 2 that we do not want to have anybody confuse the gospel. And then in verses 12 through 14, he talks about the cross of Jesus Christ. And I want you to understand this gospel message is this. that Jesus Christ came to the earth and he died on the cross. That's why it's called the cross of Christ. To pay for the sins of every human being. And he was buried and he rose again to conquer death for every human being. He is the Savior of the world. Whoever believes in him will never perish but have everlasting life. It is that simple. The cross of Christ is the central key for both salvation and Christian life. Let me show you why. Because Jesus died and rose again on the cross to pay for sin, he conquered death. Paid for sin and conquered death, the cross. The Christian life, because Jesus died and rose again, we died and rose again with him to have victory in the Christian life. So the cross of Christ is the key. And when we go out these doors, we tell the greatest message of all. It is a good news message. It is not a bad news message. It is a good news message that anyone can have eternal life as a gift by faith in Jesus who died and rose again for them. That's the message. So as we look at this letter and close, key applications in our lives from the Galatian letter. Number one is this. Let's stand for the grace message of salvation. Listen, you know the message. You have the message. We are responsible to be clear on that message. Jesus died and rose again, and all who believe in him will have eternal life. It is not works, but faith alone in Christ alone. I want you to understand something. It is not works for salvation. It is not works to keep salvation. It is not even works to prove salvation. Just remember that. The message is confused and ridiculed today. The message of the grace of God and faith alone in Christ alone for eternal life is ridiculed today. You may not understand that. You may not be out there enough where it is, but if you start getting out there and telling people that it's faith alone in Christ alone, watch what they say to you. I've told this story many times. I have to say it again this morning. There's a little sweet person that comes occasionally. Her family lives here. Occasionally she comes. She believes that you must do good works to be saved. And she's the sweetest thing, and she loves me. And as I stand at the door and she leaves on those Sundays that she comes, she hugs me and she says, I love you, JB. You're making it too easy for people to be saved. The message is confused. It is not works for salvation. It is not work to keep saved. It is not work to prove saved. We are saved by faith alone in Christ alone, plus nothing. Second, understand that the Christian life is a walk of faith. It's not rules or laws. We've been crucified with Christ and we live by faith and we live in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's how we live. And let me show you this. This is the key. The fruit of the Spirit is not produced by law. The fruit of the Spirit is produced by the Spirit. That's the difference. Last but not least, let's stand for Christ in our community and world. Let's take the stand. We have a message of grace, both for salvation and Christian life. We want to have a lifestyle of service and love and power in the Holy Spirit, doing good, living in such a way that Jesus Christ is glorified. So what we do is we thank God for his grace to us. When you walk out this door today and you get in your car, you ought to say, God, thank you for how you dealt with me. How you sent Jesus, how you died for us, how you paid for sins, how you give me eternal life. It's not my works, it's not my faithfulness, it's you and you alone. Thank you, and thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit, and thank you for the Bible so that I can live for you. Thank God for his grace to us. We have salvation by faith alone in Christ. We have the Christian life and live the Christian life by faith in the power of the Holy Spirit.